Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Our scripture this morning comes from 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. And it reads thus: This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen.
And would you open your Bibles, please, now to Philippians, the first chapter. This is going to be the text for our sermon this morning, Philippians chapter 1. And may I say that it's wonderful to see all of you here. We have a great crowd and a lot of folks who are visiting today, and we're so happy to have you here. Our elders this year have decided to put an emphasis on our mission work, not so much as adding new additional mission work, but to raise our awareness in the church of what we're doing. The goal is that we would be so familiar with the different works that people in the church would be able to name the preachers, the places. Here's what we're doing, because that's so healthy for us. And so today they've asked us to declare this Mission Sunday. What that means, as Paul said a while ago, is that I'm going to preach about missions today and hopefully raise our level of awareness of how important this is. And then tonight, we're going to talk about the specific mission points that we have. Why don't we call it mission work? I don't know the answer to that. I emailed James Andrews, and I often do this to ask him questions about words or passages. James, why do we call it mission work? And he talked about the Latin and about the Greek and various different things. And at the bottom, he said he wasn't sure. And I'm going to give you Glenn's theory. I don't know this, but this is my theory. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 is this: all authority, Jesus says, has been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then it's perennial. This is a perpetual thing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we call that the Great Commission. Commission means an ordering or a sending out with instructions. We're charged with this from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we call it the Great Commission. I wonder if people perhaps at one time would say this is Great Commission work when they were talking about sending a preacher out to some foreign country or perhaps whatever, some place to preach, and would call it the Great Commission work. That would seem logical, and perhaps at some point they just shortened it and we call it mission work. I don't know if that's true. But what I want to do is I want to read Philippians chapter 1, the first 7 verses, but not yet. I want to preach most of my sermon before I get to that. I just want to raise our awareness and understanding of what Paul is saying in that passage. So I'm going to kind of do this backwards and read my text at the end. I want to spend the bulk of my time talking about the word fellowship. This is an old English word. Best I can tell, the etymology, the history of the word goes back about the 12th century. And a lot of speculation about it, but what I believe is true is that it came from two words, from fi and lay. And the idea was that two people would come together in an agreement, a business agreement, and they would bring a fee, that is an amount of money, and they would lay it together on a table, and that money would be invested in something that would either benefit them or they'd lose it. I did this one time in cattle. I don't know if you knew that I at one time was a cattleman, but I found a young man who was interested in cattle and he wanted to build a herd. And so I brought some money and we invested in a cow that was to bear a calf soon. And the idea was that he would take care of the animal, and so we had equal investment, and then the calf was born and grew up, and we sold the calf and the cow died. Well, that was not very good. And he called me and said, "Got bad news, cow died." And I said, "Well, at least we've got enough money to pay, or at least got the money of the sale of the calf." And he said, "No, that was used to pay the vet bill to try to save the cow that died." And so we both lost. Well, there's the idea of the word. The word is that you would enter into an agreement. Thus, the word fellowship. And the Greek word means much the same. It's used 17 times in the New King James Bible, 2 times in the Old, but the bulk of it, the majority of the times when you read the word fellowship in the Bible, it's in the New Testament. And the Greek word means that you come together in an agreement, that you are united in some purpose with other persons. Fellowship. Fellowship. Now, you would understand, of course, and assume that if we're Christians, that to which we unite in fellowship is governed. There are things that I should be in fellowship with. There are things I cannot be, that I'm prohibited from being in fellowship with. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. I am to have fellowship with Christ and his people. God is faithful, Paul says, by whom you were called, listen to this, into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I like that. That's the church, of course. And I was called by the gospel, Romans 1 and 16. We're called by the gospel. When I was baptized into Jesus Christ, I became part of his fellowship. That's the church. It is, I like to picture it as a circle. And we're getting into the circle with other people united together in this common cause. We call it the church. That is what Paul says here is fellowship. And we love this. We do this by choice. You and I as Christians are in this fellowship with Jesus Christ together. Recently, our ladies' class decided that they would send money to India to a widow. There's someone there who said that there are widows and they owe a similar amount of money to pay off their little houses and to buy a sewing machine so they can make money. It's going to cost about $2,000 a person. And that there are, because of their circumstances, there are a lot of such widows there. And so they wanted to drum up a couple of $1,000s. And a couple of announcements were casually made. Does anybody want to help with this? No prodding, no begging, no pushing. But of course, you know how it is around here. And before it was finished, the money that was sent was almost 3 times that much. Why is that? Well, that's not hard to figure out. I want to be a part of that. You got some a widow woman who needs that help. I can help with. I want in on this, and so I want to get into the circle. That's fellowship. I want to be a part, and so we united together in fellowship to take care of that need. Now, there are things that I'm prohibited from being in fellowship with, and this is not a surprise to you, but there's a terrific verse that teaches this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Now, I've underlined some words here because each of these words are what I'm not to be in fellowship with. Now, he's not going to go into great specificity and say, here are particular activities or organizations. You shouldn't be a part of these. He's going to leave this to your discretion. There are some specifics in the scriptures, Galatians 5:19, list of sins there, but he concludes, and so you can't go to heaven like this, but he concludes that list and he says, and such like. What's that? It's like this. General principles, and I go through my life and I've got to decide these things are inconsistent with the fellowship with Jesus Christ. I can't be a part of them. Here's what it is in 2 Corinthians 6. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Lawlessness. What communion has light with darkness? I can't be in fellowship with darkness. What accord has Christ with Belial? Belial means sorry wickedness. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, the church, are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. John 17, when Jesus prayed just before he died, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. In other words, I'm in the world. I'm associated in some way with people of the world all the time. That's not the same thing as joining in fellowship. I have to be careful to not imply endorsement of evil things. If I buy a used car out of a man's yard one day, if it suits my needs, I pay him the money and drive the car away. But on the back of the car, on the bumper, there's a bumper sticker of a political candidate whose platform I simply abhor. I'm not going to drive that car very long before I get it to the house and get that bumper sticker off of there. Why? I mean, I don't support that stuff. Why should I care if the bumper sticker is on there? And the answer is because I don't want people to think I'm in fellowship with that. That would be a violation of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm not part of that, and I don't want anybody to think that. I have a dear friend in a distant city, wonderful Christian man. But when the Black Lives Matter issues surfaced, he posted a placard, Black Lives Matter. And I was very disappointed in him about that. I mean, I understand what he was thinking. I think, that what he is, because he's a Christian. Do you hear me? He's a Christian. And he, in his heart, was a motivation for African Americans to have equality and fairness and justice. And every Christian who has his head screwed on right agrees with that. The problem is that when he posted this placard, he linked himself together with what was going on right then, which was rioting and murder and lawlessness and injustice. And I found that very sad. He didn't mean it. I don't think he meant that. I don't think he meant to be in fellowship with all of that, but that's what he was. That's what he, at least what he indicated. And as a Christian, what I'm going to do is be careful. You got a political candidate right now. I won't name him, but a major political candidate who's in some hot water because history shows that he made contributions, financial contributions to his opponent, to her campaign, to her organization, to her stuff. It's just very hard to explain. So what you want to tell us is that you're not in fellowship with this person? You don't agree with this? You're not in fellowship with this, but you contributed money to this? And that's, you know what, that's hard to explain. That's kind of hard to explain. So the point is, as a Christian, I'm going to be faced with these kinds of decisions all the time. I cannot fellowship evil. Nor do I want to present myself as a Christian to fellowship evil, to fellowship darkness. So I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of the perception that I create in other people. All right, now move along. The church is called the fellowship. Now, picture the circle again. And imagine a circle into which all Christians go. That's the church, and I love the church. Three things. I need the church. I need this fellowship. I've seen this fellowship. I value this fellowship. Now, Ephesians 5 and 19 talks about what we've been doing in this auditorium this morning. When we sing, you know, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and that's what we've been doing. Listen to me. I need you. I need this. The very idea that I don't eat the Lord's Supper by myself, the very idea that on the Lord's Day and other times I come together with you and we pray together as a unit is very meaningful. I want to be in the circle with you. I want to be in the fellowship with you. I've seen what the fellowship does. I've traveled to a number of different nations preaching, you know, in various different mission kinds of things, and I soon realized something beautiful, which is in Acts chapter 11 and 23, and that is that even though you don't speak the language of these other peoples, you can see something in those folks who have been influenced by Jesus and who are in the fellowship. The way that it's described here, when Barnabas went to Antioch He said, I saw the grace of God in these people. You can see it demonstrated in the way they treat each other, the way they act, the way they behave, the way they think. It's something I value. Listen, I want to use my life to serve my God. I know that I share that with you. I'm thankful for that. I could have been born during the time of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob. Sometimes I think about living back then and how that would have been. And some things about it I think I would like to experience, but not all of it. I wasn't born during the time of Peter or Paul or John. Don't you believe in God's providence? I was born into this generation. I live in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm a member of the body of Christ, the congregation of the Lord's church here with you. I'm very grateful for that. I value being part of the fellowship, the circle of people that have this united purpose, this united cause. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light, that's what we share. You and I share Jesus Christ and the Word, the New Testament given by the Holy Spirit. And what we're about, I mean, as part of this fellowship, we're about living our lives conforming to His last will and testament, the New Testament. If we walk in that light as He is in the light, ready? We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. What does it mean today to be in the fellowship, which is the church? In Acts chapter 2, when the church had its launching, you had a lot of Christians who were in trouble. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that, but they needed financial help right quick. And in this fellowship, 42 says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. But then they recognized this need. Now all who believed were together. Here's the circle. Ready? And had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What does it mean today to be in this fellowship? Here's what it means. One, it means we're glued together. We are glued together. 1 Corinthians 12:25. That there should be no schism in the body. That means division, that we are united together. We're in the same cause, same purpose here. But that the members should have the same care for one another. Look at the next one. Look at Ephesians 4:25. For we are members of one another. We're glued together. What about this next one? Romans 12:5. We being many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another. What's that about? That's about the fellowship. This afternoon, what we're going to do is we're going to eat lunch together, and then we're going to listen to one another's children make speeches, lead singing and so forth for lads to leaders. And you'll have people in there who don't have any children. What are you doing in here? How do you have an interest in this? Well, these are the children of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And what we're about is building up these children so that they will be part of the fellowship all of their lives. And the very activity itself indicates the fellowship that we have. We're in agreement. We have tied ourselves together. We're all in the circle together. We have one heart in our chests. And our chests beats one heart. Now this is King James in Acts 2:46. Breaking bread house to house. They ate their meat with gladness. Are you ready for this? And singleness of heart. What does it mean when you're in the fellowship of the church? We're family. We are tied. We're tied together. It means that we are part of the same cause. Remember 1 Samuel 17 when David came upon this situation with Goliath. And he has this indignation about what he sees because the people of God, the armies of God are afraid of Goliath. And David says, is there not a cause? The Apostle Paul used the word cause in that way in Ephesians 3 and verse 1, talking about New Testament Christianity, the purposes, the teachings of Jesus. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, in the circle, in the fellowship that you and I are involved, with which we're involved, there's one central cause. You and I are about the reality of heaven and hell. You and I are about the reality of God in heaven, and we want to go. We're about the reality that one day He's going to pull this plug, and this whole world's going to come to an end, and there's going to be a judgment, and we want to go to heaven, and we want to help other people to go to heaven. And that's the cause. It's what motivates us. In short, because we're in the fellowship, we're part of a family. Now, here's Matthew 12 and verse 50. It was Jesus' perspective. Whoever shall do the will of my Father in heaven, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. What? Oh, it's this. You look around you. These are your people. If you're part of the fellowship, this is higher. This is elevated above all else. I'm part of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. This is where my heart is. This is where my purpose is. I'm part of the cause. I'm part of the family. We have one heart in the church, one heart collectively. What's that? That's the fellowship. It's the fellowship. Now, we're ready to read our text. I want to be in Philippians chapter 1 with you, beginning in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's rather remarkable, you know, because Acts chapter 16, remember when he was first there, was when he and Silas went to prison. Remember when the jailer, the Philippian jailer, was baptized in Lydia, Acts 16, jail, prison. But now upon reflection, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you. You all with joy. Now verse 5. You want to underline this? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers with me. Hear it? He's in prison. This is a prison epistle. And both in my chains and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. What do you call that? You call it fellowship of the gospel. Now, I want you to turn the page now to go to chapter 4 with me. So, more specifically, what is the fellowship of the gospel that's talked about here? So the fellowship of the gospel is kind of a broad concept, but here is the specific application in Philippians chapter 4, the book of Philippians, really, and it's applicable to Mission Sunday. That's why I brought it today. What is the fellowship of the gospel that Paul is referencing? I'm in Philippians chapter 4 now and verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. You know what? It's about sending money to this preacher. It's about collecting funds to send so that he can keep preaching the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel is that these Christians in Philippi and Macedonia there, they draw their funds together, they contribute together, and they use this money in order that Paul can keep doing what it sustains him. He can keep doing what he's doing, and that puts them in the same circle with him. When he preaches, they're preaching, because they're a part of that. Verse 10, continuing, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. I know there were other times you would have helped me, but couldn't. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians, Know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. They didn't wait around to see what other people were going to contribute or other people were going to support this apostle Paul. They jumped in and did it. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. When Paul wrote the 2 Corinthian letter, he made reference to these people in Philippi. Here's chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they were poor, but it abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift. Are you ready? And the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Same book now, chapter 11, verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, but that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. Philippi. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Here's the point. I want you to aptly elevate what's happening in the mission work in the West Huntsville family. Biblically, the way this is described by the Apostle Paul is with this term. I want you to familiarize yourself with it. The fellowship of the gospel. Here are people in Philippi who will never be able to do what Paul can do. They can't go where he goes. They can't preach like he preaches. But that doesn't mean they can't be in the circle with him. You remember what fellowship means? Remember the original English word that we use? It's very similar to the Greek one, and it means that two people put down their money and invest in something together. They're united together. And that's how it is with the gospel. And in these places that we send our money, you contributed this morning, and the elders are going to take funds, and they're going to send them, and they do every month, to Ukraine, to India, to New Zealand, to South America, to these preachers. And our missions team are men who are communicating with those people often, and we know those preachers, and we're bound with them. We're tied together in the circle. What do you call it? You call it the fellowship of the gospel. And aren't you thankful with me to be a part of that? You see, that's the fellowship. That's where I want to be. I want to be in that circle to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm part of that. Part of that. Tonight we're going to take up part two. We're going to talk about specific mission works in which we are involved. And I hope you'll come back and be part of that at 5:00. The gospel that we preach today all over the world is the same gospel that was preached in Acts the 2nd chapter in the 1st century. And what a person must do to obey the gospel, to be saved, to be added to the fellowship, which is the church, is the same today as it was back then. To repent of your sins and confess him. Want to be in the circle? You got to confess him. Everybody who's in the circle has confessed him and confesses him. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If he is, you know, he's got the authority to tell me what to do, and I'm obligated to follow his will because he's the Son of God. And upon that confession, to be baptized, immersed, because he said to do it for the remission of sins. The fellowship. Fellowship. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, why don't you do that today? Why don't you become part of his fellowship? Get in the circle with him. If you are a member of the body, but you've strayed away and you want to come back, you want to quit giving off the wrong message, the wrong implied endorsement to things that aren't right, and you want to get back to doing what you should be doing, well, you can be restored today. We'll pray with you and for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.